When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
If you want to be dating this person, if you want to be in an exclusive relationship and you want him to be your boyfriend, which I believe is one and the same, by the way.
Well, that was going to be my next question is, no, do you see any difference?
Nope. Honestly, any person who says to you, oh, we're in an exclusive relationship, but I'm not your boyfriend. No, fuck them. Break up with them. Why? Because he wants the perks of being your boyfriend, but he doesn't want to be your boyfriend. That just means he wants sex on the regular.
Yeah. That's or it. He wants a girlfriend, but he doesn't want to be a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Is always how
right.
I look at it.
And he doesn't want to use condoms.
Also that.
I feel like that's the biggest one.
That really is the biggest one. And a lot of women get into that trap too, because they also don't want to use condoms.
And you know how it's one and the same? You just act confused. I would act like a confused bird when that conversation's happening. When he's like, let's be exclusive, be like, does that mean you're my boyfriend? Like, just ask that. I'm confused. Mm. Does that mean you're my boyfriend? Am I your girlfriend? Yeah. Just pause. Don't answer for him. Pause and let him answer. And then he will say yes or no. And if he says no, believe him. And that is your sign to leave, because he will never change his mind.
That's painfully true.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am your co-host, Erica Sparrow.
And I'm Molly DeMillier.
And we've got a great episode for you this week featuring matchmaker Maria.
Yeah.
Very, very excited. She is chock full of advice.
Yeah, she is.
We get into it. But I'm even, maybe not more excited, but I am super excited to announce this as well. Molly, what's going on?
We have a sponsorship.
We have our first sponsor.
Yeah.
Woo, 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 woo. Of the pod.
Yes. We have partnered with Sunset Lake CBD. I absolutely love their products. It's a Vermont owned company. Everybody knows I love Vermont, and the products are just so, so good. We got like this huge package. I think I eat one of the gummies every morning because especially like I was waking up really stressed out for a while and I would just pop a gummy and then I was like, nothing can bother me.
I'm on top of the world.
I am bulletproof.
It's like the adult version of Flintstone vitamins.
Yeah, exactly. But like a little bit better, yeah. You know?
And we've said it before, if you're a fan, if we ever were to go take a sponsor, we were going to try their stuff first and really vet it out. And we tried their stuff. We've talked to who runs this company. They are great people. Mm-hmm. We tried. They sent us a bunch of stuff. We like the gummies. That's one of our favorites. They have the CBD drops that you could put under your tongue. They have lotion.
Yeah.
They have everything.
They have absolutely everything. They have fudge, which is delicious. Everything just tastes so good. And so we have a promo code for you guys. If you use SGS20, that's SGS20, you get 20% off all of your items. So we'll have the link in the description and definitely give it a try. So just a little bit about the company. Sunset Lake CBD is a farmer-owned business that ships CBD products directly from their farm to your door. For years, Sunset Lake was a Vermont dairy farm producing milk for Ben & Jerry's ice cream. In 2018, they diversified and started growing hemp for CBD. With a product for everyone, they offer gummies, fudge, coffee, tinctures, as well as smokable pre-rolls and flower products, all crafted to help with stress, aches, and pains. Sunset Lake CBD saves you money by shipping high-quality CBD products directly from their farm to your door. So that is SGS20 for 20% off all items.
Yep, and it's sunsetlakecbd.com, and they ship everywhere in the U.S. So wherever you're listening, SGS20 for 20% off, and check out their stuff.
And another extra tidbit is you get an additional, you get 30% off if you are a Patreon member.
Yeah, if you're a Patreon member, you're going to be getting extra deals on everything we do.
Yep.
And if you want to join the Patreon, it's patreon.com/shootersgottashoot. That's Patreon, patreon.com/shootersgottashoot for extra episodes and the real behind the scenes of the show of what's going on with us.
So getting the real dirty over there.
Yeah. There's, you know, it's hot. Shock Girl Summer, as Matchmaker Maria is calling
it.
Shock Girl Summer. So enjoy our episode with Maria. I am very, very, very excited to have our guest on this week. You might have heard of her company, Agape Match.
Or you've heard her podcast, Ask a Matchmaker Podcast.
It's Matchmaker Maria.
Welcome to the show.
Welcome. Well, what am I saying? Welcome. Hi. It's weird. I'm always the one interviewing. Now I'm like, no, the other way.
No, you're good. We're so excited to have you. An official matchmaker.
Yes. This is our first matchmaker, right?
This is our first matchmaker ever on the show. And correct me if I'm wrong, you come from a family of matchmakers.
Yes.
Yes. So it's partly in your DNA.
It's so different though. Like my grandmother was not, but you know, she was getting paid with a goat or goat milk or something. Like it was like orders. Like match my son, match my daughter. And you know, you get 3 dozen eggs and I'm like, no, give me money.
Well, I'm just very excited to have you on because I feel like most people, myself included, what I know from matchmaking is literally Millionaire Matchmaker on Bravo or Indian Matchmaking that came out on Netflix during quarantine.
Yeah.
Right. I've never watched either of those shows.
I feel like you might not be a fan.
I know one of those two matchmakers. You know, in fact, I think two of my clients have married two of her clients.
Interesting.
It speaks the level that we collaborate as matchmakers, like it's a very small industry, but we, you know, some matchmakers, we do collaborate with each other. And, you know, sometimes your client's match did not sign up in your database. They're in someone else's database and you got to go get them. So, yeah, but I don't watch dating shows. I don't.
Yeah. Keep work at work, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't want to talk about like, when are we going to define things? And, you know.
All right. So since we were talking a little bit before we started hitting record, I think we should jump into this. This 12 date rule is kind of, I think, what you're known for in the industry. So
lately, yeah.
Can you break down briefly what your 12 date rule is that you give to your clients or people that you're doing your coaching intensive with?
So it's a method. Okay. I know people hate rules, but some people really like rules. Like it's really easy to follow if you just understand the date math, but essentially it's a method that, is just to help specifically women to determine, like, do they even like this person that they're dating? Sometimes we get so distracted by the beginning that there's a distraction of sex, but there's also the anticipation of seeing someone new and getting to know them, especially if you're excited about them. But you don't know that much about them. You start just kind of filling in the blanks of what you think you might know. And that comes from your own experience and previous, you know, baggage that you might have. And, you know, instead of thinking about like, should I even like this person? Instead, we're thinking like, when should we sleep with each other? Or, you know, is he my boyfriend? Or when should he meet my friends? Or when should he meet my parents? It's like, oh, just hold on a second. What do you know about him? And, you know, when you wait a little bit, you can learn a lot more about your emotional compatibility, right? Because physical compatibility is so important, but it plateaus after a while. And what we're left with is emotional compatibility. So by waiting just a little bit and, you know, before people freak out with 12 dates, because for some reason people think 12 dates, 12 weeks. And I'm like, what? You know, no, not that.
that was my first thought. I was like, we're waiting 3 months.
that's Steve Harvey's dating advice, 90 days, 90 but days. That's not here. This is 12 date rule. This is 3 weeks basically at best. But essentially by waiting just a little bit, you can discover four things. And those four things are, you know, what's he like on a bad day? What's he like on a good day? How does he treat you? I know I'm speaking heteronormatively, so I apologize, but how does he treat you when you're having a bad day? And more importantly, how does he treat you when you're having a good day? Mm-hmm. Because like the one thing I constantly hear from people is like, but you know, I interview people for a living as a matchmaker and I ask like, tell me about your last 2-3 breakups. And I'll hear stuff like, you know, well, he was always really upset with my career. Or he would say stuff like, oh, you got a promotion. Now we'll never do anything. It's like, that's not a normal reaction to good news.
Yeah.
Well, it's not, you know, you have a lot of people that are in really shit relationships. Mm. And when you try, I mean, think of even like if you have like a friend that's in a bad relationship and you're like, why can't she see what she can't see? Like this person's not good for her. And sometimes it's, you know, you're stigmatized. And that happens when you have sex a little earlier into meeting someone. And, you know, the chemicals that get released upon sex, it really does blind you from seeing, you know, red flags, pink flags. I don't know. There's a lot to this, but there are exceptions. So like, you know, the exception to this 12 date rule is if you've known someone for more than 6 months. So maybe this is a friend of a friend that you've met a few times, or this is a coworker. This does not apply to you. Have sex whenever you want, because chances are you already know their temperament. You already know what they're like on good days and bad days and how they react to you on your good days and bad days. But if this is a complete stranger off the internet, you know, wait a little bit. And by waiting a little bit, there is a date math, right? Can I talk about the date math?
Not yet. So can you break down the date math of what counts for a date? Because we all think date in person, you know, meeting. That's why, like, for me, it's like, yeah, a lot of times I am only free one night a week with work and I do stand-up comedy. So it's like,
you know what's funny? It's tough. Like, it's so funny that that's a people's assumption. But when you talk to people like, oh, I've been seeing someone. Oh, yeah, tell me about your dates. Oh, we haven't been dating, but we've been talking via text for like 5 days. And I'm like, okay, that's seeing anyone. You're texting someone.
No.
Right. You have a pen pal.
Yeah. That's middle school stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, everyone does it. So many people fell in love during the pandemic when they couldn't meet people by texting all day. I mean, God, I've even done it like 9 years ago before I met my husband. I remember texting guys back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And like, you've got feelings. So I'm like, I don't even know what you sound like.
Mm, okay. Yeah.
So this is date math. A date is either a phone call, a video chat, you know, Zoom, FaceTime, whatever, or an in-person date, obviously. And the time on a date is a minimum of 20 minutes and a maximum 3 hours. And you can have up to 2 dates in one day. So let's say you go on that 8-hour in-person marathon date. That's 2 dates.
Mm.
Right? It doesn't count as 2.5 dates. Similarly, like let's say Erica sleeps over at a guy's house. So she goes over on Friday night at like 7 p.m. Like they go to the movies or whatever. And then she sleeps over and then the next day they wake up and they do brunch. That's still only 2 dates because there has to be a break in between for it to count again as dates, right? So it's only a 2-date maximum.
Pause though. You're not anti keeping the first date short then, because that's what a lot of people say. They're like, don't do more than an hour. Don't do that 3-hour long date. Like, so this is interesting. This is the first I've heard.
Well, 2-drink maximum.
2-drink max. Okay. Interesting.
Oh.
Go for a walk otherwise. Okay. Like, I don't know. I feel like if you're going to do a long day, I never thought about it. So you want to make me add more rules to this?
No, I just.
No, I've already broken all of these. Don't add more.
No, I'm just, that's a common thing.
People send me, I have to create a PDF. People send me all the time. Like, I just got a screenshot from one of my followers that she's been on 10 dates with a guy and like, the first 3 were phone calls, you know, Monday she had a 20-minute phone call, Tuesday, a 20-minute phone call, whatever, like she was counting. And then they met in person. It went really well. Then they had a phone call again the next day. Then they had another in-person date. So she's like already like 8 dates deep. And even though it's only been, I think like 9 days. So you can collect the dates quickly. I think the average is like 2.5-3 weeks for 12 dates.
Interesting.
And I know that sounds insane, but like, yeah, it's weird. It's the people that tend to have a reaction to this are people who love to sleep with someone on a first date. And look, I've done it. I've slept with guys on the first date. It didn't work out. And I'm not saying that it doesn't work out for other people. There are plenty of people who have slept with someone on the first date. But there's also, and it worked out. Let me say it like that. There are plenty of people who slept with someone on the first date and it worked out. Mm-hmm. But there are also plenty of people who have won the lottery. That's a lottery ticket. Anytime someone tells me I slept with my boyfriend on the first date, congratulations, you won the lottery. Mm-hmm. But I'm sure that one person though knows like 10 other people, including herself, where you slept with a guy on the first date thinking you really liked him, you know, fireworks, you know, whatever, only for it to like completely collapse, or to learn that he was just not interested in being in a relationship with you, he's just interested in having sex with you. Mm-hmm. And you know, no guy's ever gonna wait 12 dates or 2 weeks if he's just trying to sleep with you.
Yeah, you know? That's true. I think it just gets so hard, I think, for a lot of people, especially coming out of the pandemic, or times when you have kind of like taken a break from dating and then you get back out there and you hear like, oh my God, like 12 dates. Like I don't even know I've been on 12 dates.
During the pandemic, I'm telling you, I've had 211 people enter relationships in the last 18 months. Half of that was in a pandemic. I think the pandemic made it easier to get to 12 dates because, of all these 12, 3 of them have to be in person. So you can have 9 not in person. Mm. And because people were forced to be home and get to know each other, hate night through Zoom or whatever they were doing.
Yeah.
It just made it a lot easier to get to know someone.
So do you think people were making like stronger connections because there was no like in-person distraction, or
look, my personal opinion, yes. Professional opinion, absolutely. And studies show this. Like, you know, Dr. Helen Fisher, she's an anthropologist. She runs the Singles in America studies for Match Group. And her findings show that connections were much deeper in 2020 than ever before. And it was because people were courting for the first time. You know, there's an entire generation of people who have never courted before. They've only dated. As a dating professional, you know, these are the things that we look at, not even just from other companies, but even our own. Like, I can see from the dates that we set up, you know, so many of our, we set up something like 300 Zoom dates last year.
Wow.
And 200 of those went to second dates. Wow. And of those 200, how many of them had to be walking dates because, you know, restaurants were not open or whatever. Mm-hmm. You see the way that people are interacting is way different than before. And not only just with their dates, but even with their own matchmaker. Like, the way our clients talk to us right now is really intimate, and like, in a good way. I mean, like the boundaries are kind of down because we have to talk about them. We have to talk about, how are you going to get to know someone during a pandemic?
Yeah. I mean, it was a big year for, or a year for really big conversations too, that I think you learn a lot about people. Oh, yeah. And people were obviously on one side or the other about them and had strong opinions. You know, I also think with the vaccinations or, you know, spreading, we had a lot of people telling us that they were seeing someone and they would move to an exclusive much faster because they weren't comfortable seeing a lot of other people. So do you think
I had so many clients get engaged in 2020?
Wow.
I mean, that doesn't surprise me. 2020.
Yeah. Like, that in 2020?
Yeah, they met and they had a first date in 2020 and they got engaged in 2020. I have never had that many engagements.
Well, Maria, it felt like the end of the world. You know? Like, for those of you that are single, it's like the most alone you truly could be, especially like if you lived alone. And it, I think, made a lot of people sit there and be like, okay, when I am a certain age and I can't be running around like I used to be, or even like, you know, people that worked a lot, I worked a lot at night with comedy running around and I was sitting there frustrated. Like, basically, I felt like this is the one time in my life I have had the most time on my hands to date somebody, but no one around to date. And then it just makes you realize like, oh yeah, if my life was this 9 to 5, go to work and just come home, what am I coming home to? And that's, I think, partly why a lot of people also like got pets and got into relationships for the first time in a long time. Cause it was just like, oh, if you took everything else away, I don't want to just be by myself.
I had a female client get into a relationship in January 2020. And I'll never forget, we get this email, like, I think like April 15th, when we still in my office, we thought like the world was coming to an end. Like, we're still all in the panic. And it was, she was like, oh, I bought a house. And I'm like, wait, with who? And she's like, oh, this, the guy you set us up with in January. And I'm like, the fuck? Like, what?
That's so fast. Do you have any rules on that of like how quickly to move once you decide to be in a committed relationship? Like, that's real quick to get on a loan with someone.
I don't have guidance. I don't have rules. Not just me personally, but I've seen this professionally too. Like, I think you should be engaged before you get married. Because the one thing that
I think you mean, back up. You should be engaged before you get married or before you move in.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. I was like, that is how it works.
That too.
Good advice, Maria.
Nice. She knows her stuff.
Yeah. I'm an expert, guys. I think that you should be engaged before you move in. And I'll tell you why. I have seen, it's funny, I know a lot of relationship experts disagree with me on this. And I love not agreeing with everyone. That's okay with me. Like, but I'll tell you why. I have seen not only my own clients, but friends of mine, where you kind of choose to live with someone because it would just be cheaper. The same criteria that you would use for a Craigslist roommate is suddenly the same criteria for the future potential father of your children. And that to me is really scary. And the second thing that I've seen, this is not, I'm not speaking now from a professional level, this is more of a personal level. What worries me is that sometimes some men will move in with their partner because they want to delay the next milestone, which could be an engagement. Like, well, we moved in. What else do you want? You know, it's like,
or well, like we just moved in. So
yeah. But if your 3-year plan on your end is to get married and have kids, then you know, you need to discuss like, well, okay, when are we getting engaged? Because let me tell you something, any healthy marriage out there that you know, they had conversations about marriage and kids prior to getting engaged. Mm-hmm. If I ever hear someone say to me, I was so surprised when he proposed, that's a red flag. Like, what do you mean you were surprised? You should absolutely know. It's like, I'm not saying you should know the day and time it's coming, but like, I think I talked to my husband about, you know, our own personal goals for like a year and a half. How else are you supposed to discover if this is the person you want to be with?
Yeah, you're building a life together. You're making a plan together. Like, you shouldn't be blindsided by that.
After you set up a client, you set a client on a first date and say it matches, it's great. They go on another date, and then another one. At what point is it like the communication with you stops and you step back from being involved?
Usually on their way to date three.
Interesting. Okay.
I've always told my clients, if you go to a fourth date just and you like them, just email me to freeze your contract. I feel like any client who's had a fourth date has usually married that person.
Wow.
Like for the most part, like I can like 9 out of 10 times. Like I think, I don't know. I feel like if you're going on a fourth date through a matchmaker, that means something. Mm-hmm. Because all the bullshit is gone when you're using a matchmaker. You've already had some difficult conversations prior to through the matchmaker.
And I'm assuming with your clients, you give them like one person at a time of like, you go on a date with this one person, you report back to me. If you don't want to go on another date, I will set you up with another person. Like,
we railroad our matches.
Right. Like people are almost wondering like, how many options are you giving your clients? Is it?
No. So I think that question derives from Patty Stanger's show. We use more of a behavioral economics standpoint to like how we match our clients. We definitely railroad the matches. So it's like one match at a time. You know, usually my client and I will have a relationship until they date someone. And then after that, I never hear if they hit it off and that's it. Like that's their person. Mm-hmm. I usually don't hear from them ever again. Mm-hmm. My responsibilities end when you get into a relationship. Mm-hmm. You being in a relationship, that is all on you. I have no control over the kind of boyfriend and girlfriend you're going to be on in a relationship. Mm-hmm. All I can do is recruit matches and screen them and go on the first date for you and then coordinate your first and second date. That's what we do.
I hope this doesn't offend you, but what you do is almost similar to like a temp agency of like, I'll put someone in this temp role. And then the company decides if they want to hire them. And if the company doesn't want to hire them and they don't like them, I just switch in a new temp. Like, it's like, here's another person I screened. Like, it's the same thing.
That's a fantastic analogy, Erica. No one's ever said that to me. And I'm not being sarcastic. Like, no one has ever said that to me. And,
I hope it's not offensive.
I dig it.
I don't know. I'm curious. So in like non-matchmaking dating, I feel like everyone, it just assumes for the longest time, like everyone is dating a lot of people. So how do you think people should really navigate that and like when to have an exclusive conversation with someone that they're seeing?
So I feel like the moment you are really growing feelings for someone and you know that you can get hurt, you need to be forthright about it. And I'm not saying you do this on date one, date two, please come down. But like, you know, if you've been on 5 or 6 dates in especially in person, or you know, even before you have sex, like if you're ready to have sex, but you feel like it needs to be an exclusive relationship, you got to talk and you have to say the following. You have to say, hey, I really like you. I don't want to get hurt. And I'd really like to be an exclusive relationship. You know, the next time I fall in love and the next time I have sex or whatever it is. But like, I don't look, if the guy really likes you, if the guy actually wants to date you, no matter how you word it, it doesn't matter. He's going to understand your intent. And if he wants to date you, he's going to be like, yeah, of course, you're my fucking girlfriend. And if he doesn't want to date you, he'll be like, I don't know if I like titles. I'm a free bird or whatever. And then you believe him. You accept the answer. And then you choose what to do next. If you want to be dating this person, if you want to be in an exclusive relationship and you want him to be your boyfriend, which I believe is one and the same, by the way.
Well, that was going to be my next question is, do you see any difference?
Nope. Honestly, any person who says to you, oh, we're in an exclusive relationship, but I'm not your boyfriend. No, fuck them. Break up with them. Why? Because he wants the perks of being your boyfriend, but he doesn't want to be your boyfriend. That just means he wants sex on the regular.
Yeah. That's or it. He wants a girlfriend, but he doesn't want to be a boyfriend.
Yeah.
Is always how I look at it.
And he doesn't want to use condoms.
Also that.
I feel like that's the biggest one.
That really is the biggest one. And a lot of women get into that trap too, because they also don't want to use condoms.
And you know how it's one and the same? You just act confused. I would act like a confused bird when that conversation's happening. When he's like, let's be exclusive, be like, does that mean you're my boyfriend? Like, just ask that. I'm confused. Mm. Does that mean you're my boyfriend? Am I your girlfriend? Yeah. Just pause. Don't answer for him. Pause and let him answer. And then he will say yes or no. And if he says no, believe him. And that is your sign to leave, because he will never change his mind.
That's painfully true.
Yeah, but you know, Maria, men don't give direct answers. They like to give very vague answers, which I have learned.
That is an answer.
Means no.
A vague answer is an answer. And you yeah. have, you know what happens is, I've noticed this a lot, especially in our group coaching intensives that we do, like for women. I hear this story all the time where it's like, I went out with a guy, he said he didn't want to do titles, but we were, you know, he was acting like a boyfriend. We saw each other 3 times a week. Da-da-da-da-da-da. And I'm like, yeah. And then you fell in love, right? Yeah. And then you broke up. Yeah. And he, what did he say? I told you. And you know what happens is, when a man says to you, I don't want a title, or let's just take it day by day, let's go week by week, like this breezy, vague answer.
Yeah. We're not there yet.
We're not there yet. Mm-hmm. Yeah. When they say that, they know what they're saying. They're just trying to see if they can get away with it. And I think right then and there is when you have to decide, are you going to be basic and be like, you know what, I'm gonna just keep dating him until he sees what kind of girlfriend I am. Like, I give the best blowjobs, I have the best sex, I'm a great baker, he'll see how amazing I am, and he'll change his mind. Nope, that's a waste of time. Not only like, just, oh, just, especially if you're over 30, don't date a time thief. Like, leave him, and, you know, on to the next. Because, you know, there are people who are looking for serious relationships. And if you're forthright about it, and I'm not saying you do this on the first date or second date or a third date, by the way, like, do not confuse what I'm saying here. Because, you know, sometimes we're so focused on like, what are we, instead of asking ourselves, like, should we be, like, do I even like you, or do I want the title?
Yeah.
Because if I like you and I want the title, then I have to talk to you. Like, I need you to know, here's what I need to feel comfortable. I need this to be an I really like you. I need this to be an exclusive relationship. I need to be your girlfriend. And if this is something you can't do, then, you know, we got to go.
Yeah.
I love being really aggressive and assertive. No one has to take that. You don't have to take this stance, but you can be the confused bird. Like, let him say it if you want, right? This should be an exclusive. You could be like, are you dating anyone? No. Do you want to make this exclusive? What does that mean exactly? Does that mean I'm your girlfriend? Because I don't want to be exclusive with anyone who's not my boyfriend.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's an extremely vulnerable conversation, but it's just so, so necessary. Like, in my early 20s, I was that person who just hung around of like, he'll change his mind.
Yeah.
He hangs out with me all the time. But no, he's seeing other people. Like,
I basically lived with someone for 6 months. I don't even know if he had an apartment after 3 months. You know, maybe, you know, I don't know, maybe he was with another woman those 3 days, but he was never able to have that conversation with me. Like, every time I would try to bring it up, it was like, you know, it's not the time right now, whatever. I'm like, you're here every day.
Yeah.
We're having sex every day. Like, what do you mean you're not my boyfriend? And yeah. I had to snap out of it. I was young, though. I was in my 20s. If you don't make those mistakes when you're 25, when are you going to make them?
Right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I remember being in something, too, of the exclusive, and they were doing all the boyfriend things. And I remember just saying, I don't see what you being called my boyfriend would change. I go, we're both doing all the relationship things. Like, and mine was like, you're calling me every day. I'm getting the good morning every day. The like, anytime we're both free, we're hanging out. So it's like, you're just sitting there being like, I don't get it. And it's hard when you are like enjoying their company to basically end it. It is hard because you're just sitting there hard. Like, but it literally is the same thing. And that's that exclusive.
And it's hard, you know, when you have like the company of a relationship too.
Right.
To like leave that, because it's like, I have to do this again.
Yeah.
But yeah, you do. You really do. You have to find the courage to do it again. And dating can be a lot of fun if you go in it with a yes attitude.
Yeah. It just, especially when you end, get out of a hard relationship and then to get back out there. And like, I'm feeling this is like now coming into my later 20s, starting to look at 30. I'm like, God, just like having to get back out there. Like, I had a breakup this winter and it's like, I thought I was done for a while, you know, like I thought I got to kind of hang out. And
are you kidding? I would love
to be single this summer. Like, whatever, I'm married, kids, blah, blah, blah. But like, if I were single, I would love to be single this summer.
Yeah, but would you be really, would you be dating with this 12 date rule, or would you be hooking up, Maria? Let's be real.
No, I would be scheduling like massive orgies.
Okay.
No lie.
This is one of the things.
Like, oh, you just got divorced, dude. Like, let's do it. Mm. Or I would definitely be trying to hit up some threesomes or something. The unicorn. Hoe it up.
Well, this is what I like about following you, is that you're very realistic. If you're like, yeah, I have this 12 date rule, I have, you know, these suggestions, you're like, that's when you really want to find someone and be with someone. Cause I love when someone will message you like, I'm in whatever town, I'm leaving in 3 months, should I bother dating? And you're like, get a friends with benefits and bang it out. You're like, have some fucking fun. Yeah. Like, don't lock yourself inside just because you're like, I want to find someone. Like, you know. Honest but I love God, that you're just I, like, go get laid, girl. Like, do your thing.
Let me tell you, Hot I girl followed summer. My advice in my 20s, okay? And I have, in Greek, we call it χωρίς αποθυμένα, which basically means like no regrets. Like, I got married with like not a single regret. I was like, oh, I've done everything. I've experienced it all. I am ready to find my person. And I was, you know, when we got married and that was it. Like, I was like, yeah, I'm not missing anything. You know, when I was like 24, did I hang out with a divorced guy in their mid 40s and figure that out? Of course I did. That was a lot of fun. Mm. I also think this is going to be the summer of relationships at the same time. I do believe that there is going to be, suddenly everyone's going to be like super horny over Memorial Day weekend, like the first 2 weeks of June. And then I really do believe that starting 4th of July weekend, it's just going to be like relationship frenzy.
I think people are going to be exhausted. You know, like, people are kind of like running out of the gates right now. We're actually just talking about this before we're recording of like,
yeah, we're already
so
horny.
Much shit to do. Like so many social events.
We've masturbated at least 3 times during this recording.
No, but there's just so many social events that it's like a little daunting after having not really done anything for a year. Mm-hmm. That I do think, I agree with you, that people are probably going to want to lock it down after like an initial just getting out there and being crazy for like a month.
Yeah, people are gonna fuck at least 2 people and then they're gonna be like, okay, I got that out of my system, now I can date.
Yeah, it's gonna go from spring break to finals week real quick. It's gonna be like spring break, I'm exhausted after, and then finals are coming, you're like, I gotta calm down, I need a study partner.
Gotta get serious.
Yeah, someone needs
cuffing,
to
cuffing season. Yeah. It's coming
early this for year sure.
So you don't think it matters who brings up the conversation of exclusivity / boyfriend, whatever. Like, you're like, women can bring it up, men can bring it up, whatever, whatever. But how about with just dating in general? How do you feel in heterosexual relationships about women making the first move?
I think it's great. Well, studies have shown this, like in the last year, something like 80 or 90% of men want you to make the first move. You know, you reaching out to them, you asking them out, that's like, that's seen as hot.
Do you think it's like a hard asking out, or do you think it's like opening the door? We have this theory that, like, you know, women can sort of like open the door a little bit and make it okay, make it known that it's okay for them to ask you out and that they like that better.
Yeah, that we would say yes.
Yeah.
I like to play the confused card with men as much as possible. I think it's like kind of guiding with them, with like letting them be the pilot, but you're like kind of the co-pilot. So, okay, here's what I mean by this. Oh yeah, it's like that Greek saying.
Yeah, I was just going to say, this is...
And men are the head. You know, that's what you're doing.
Yeah, I was about to throw in. I'm like, you're Greek, Maria. This is like, the head
so
of the
dumb.
Neck theory.
So dumb.
We've
so
all
dumb.
Seen the movie. So come on.
Yeah. You know, if I were online dating right now, I would try to use online dating as a way to like schedule my life. First of all, I would never be on an online dating app if I can't go out in the next 48 hours. Like, I don't want to pen pal any stranger. Like, fuck that. I don't want that. Because I think when you do pen pal a stranger, it gets sexual at some point. And now you're talking dirty to a guy that you have not met. And you're at the same time trying to date. Like, that's not, you've just imbalanced something.
Or it gets lazy.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. So what I would do if I were single right now, this would be my method, is to be on the dating app. And I would say, like, you know, hey, you seem really interested, like, you know, kind of back and forth, up to 3 messages back and forth, you know, volley for serve, 3 times over the net. And then I would say, hey, you know, you seem really interesting. I have to go. Would you be interested in doing a Zoom call in 1 hour or tomorrow afternoon at 4 p.m.? What do you think about that? Like, I'm not even asking him to say yes or no. I'm asking him what he thinks about it. Mm-hmm. So he could be like, yeah, that's a great idea. So in 1 hour works. Or if I didn't want to do Zoom, if I would just do coffee, like, hey, you know, we live in the same neighborhood. You seem really interesting. Would you be interested in grabbing a coffee tomorrow, or like, you know, whatever, a drink tomorrow at, you know, 7 p.m.? What do you think about that?
Okay.
It becomes open-ended. It's like, it's not like he's going to say yes or no. He's going to be like, oh, that sounds great. I can't do tomorrow. Can you do Thursday?
Okay.
Like, if they don't reply back with like, an alternate time, I would block them.
Block them?
Just like unmatch. Like, it's like, all right, you didn't respond with an alternate time. I'm not interested in being your pen pal. Why are we still talking?
But so you're all for the woman when you throw it out there, like full plan. I'm just curious because it's, you know, that's where it's always a little gray area of like, okay, I want this guy to know I'm interested. Should I just say we should get a coffee sometime?
It's not that gray though. It's actually really simple, Erica, because, you know, the problem with straight women is that they think that they look at online dating from the female gaze. How will a man respond if they were a woman? And what do women do? We're like, you know, let me just take a step back. Okay. In the past, there were hunters and gatherers, right? And in 2021, men are the hunters and women are the information gatherers. And by hunters, I mean they do more definitive moves. So if a man was talking to another man online, and you could use Grindr as an example, mm-hmm. it's like, yeah, where are you? Like, where are we going? Where's the gazelle? Right? And then with women, it's like, oh, like, you know, you've never seen another woman meet another woman and be like, where are we going? It's always like, oh my God, I love your purse and your shoes look so cute. But no man has ever gone to another man and be like, where did you buy that belt? That's just never happened, right? So what women do when they go online is they talk to men as if they're other women. Oh, tell me a little more about yourself. Oh, that's a really interesting school that you went to. Oh, what'd you study? Like, you're trying to gather information. And the guy is like, yeah, okay, gazelle, where are you located? When are we going out? Like, that's what they want to say, but they've been conditioned to not say it because it doesn't look good. So take that out and talk to a man like a man. Mm-hmm. If I were a single woman, I would talk to a man the way they are talk to other men. That seems to work on Grindr.
Yeah, I mean, one of the best openers I've ever used on Bumble was, hey, what are you doing tonight? And I would get responses immediately.
Really?
Here's the thing. There are guys out there that would like to just hook up. So they're like, oh, this girl might just fuck, right? But more importantly, I was like, this is a clear signal of like, I'm trying to meet people and I don't want to waste a lot of time on the app.
Every week I get all these, I get like 300 questions now every Wednesday on my Instagram.
Yeah. At Matchmaker Maria, by the way, follow her.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And thank you. And
send her more questions.
Half of the questions are, I've been talking to a guy online for 3 weeks, 5 weeks, 6 weeks, and we have not met yet. And I'm like, no. What are you doing? Is he married? Like, what's, mm-mm. Why are you talking about someone that long?
There's something weird going on if he's not meeting up with you.
The amount of people who fall in love with people. Like, I've been there. I remember that where like, I met a guy online and you talk, you FaceTime, you're falling in love. You still have to meet.
Mm-hmm. So I know there's obviously just like a lot of dating advice out there and you put out a lot of your own. So is there anything that you hear consistently that you're like, this is just such bullshit. Like, people should not listen to this advice that they're all trying to do.
This is painful.
Do you want to know ours?
Yes.
I can't speak for mine. I think you have the same as me. It'll happen when you least expect it.
Yeah.
We don't buy that. We're like, you need to be putting yourself out there and doing things to meet somebody.
It takes work.
Yeah. No, it does take work. I don't know if I've ever said it happens when you least expect it. I do believe that when you find your person, I feel like it smacks you upside the head when you least expect it. I think that's what happens. So like, what do I mean by that? I read people's feedback, right? Like I set up dates and they send me their feedback, and I can tell you when my client has met their person because their first date feedback comes back in so much emotional language than like analytical. Like, here's how it went, Maria. I would like to see them again. Mm-hmm. It was interesting. Instead, it's like, wow, they were really unique and their perspective on this was so interesting and I could talk to them for hours and I felt so comfortable. I'm like, this is a first date. And I think when that happens, when you see that there's a more emotional cue, it's like, oh yeah, this is the person. And I remember even with my husband, when I first met him, like, I think like our third date. Yeah, it was our third date. I was like, yeah, this is the guy I'm meant to be with. Like, I knew
really?
It. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was just like, yeah, I'm good. Go ahead. What's your next question?
What do you think really makes somebody ready to find someone? Like when a new client walks into your office and they're like, hey, I want to hire a matchmaker. What are like the first things you ask them and how do you weed out basically finding people that do really want to be with someone?
I think it's different. So like, I feel like every woman, almost all women are ready to enter the relationship if the guy showed up. But with men, it's like the cab light has to be on. And if it's not, it's just, he's not, it doesn't matter if he meets Mrs. Right. It gotta be Mrs. Right now. The circumstances of his ego and opportunity have to align.
I'm curious, do you think it's a red flag if someone hasn't been in a serious relationship by a certain age?
That's a really great question. I think it's a red flag whenever I meet people that are, let's say, over 50. And they have never been in a relationship more than 2 years.
So we got time.
Yeah, you have time.
Okay, nice.
Well, I was going to say, do you have...
Maybe for men, it's like if they're over 45, if they've never been in a long-term relationship.
But 45, really, for men. Because I was going to ask, do you have a different age you would think for, you know, a straight man versus a straight woman? Or
I think it might be 45. Like, I think if you're over 45, maybe in both genders, and you've never been in a long-term relationship, like, and by long-term, I mean like over a year. Mm-hmm. I just kind of question, because it's like, you've been dating since you were 18. Like, you've never met someone you wanted to spend Christmas with twice. Like that.
Yeah.
That's just, that just kind of, it makes me pause sometimes, because sometimes there's a reason. And it might be because, you know, some people are avoidant. Some people, you know, they don't want to be in long relationships. They're addicted to the beginnings. And some people just don't have realistic expectations. So it does give me pause. Not all people. I don't want anyone to take this personally. There are plenty of, you know, really amazing, incredible people that were just so career focused that relationships were on the back end. And I accept that.
Okay. That's good advice. So do you
Thank
think,
you.
do you think everyone will eventually settle if they get to a point? If it's like, okay, like a lot of women will do this at 30. They basically will just marry the person that they're with because they're with them. It's like, well, you know, I don't know if I can do better kind of thing. But it's not really what they were looking
for. That's acceptable. That's an acceptable reason to marry someone.
Just because you're with them and they ask?
No, if you feel like, I don't know if I could do better, well, okay. If you don't feel like you can do better.
But do you feel most people do that?
I think you grow more realistic expectations as you get older of like what's important to Erica, what's important to Molly. Mm-hmm. Like things that you found important when you were 25, they really don't matter after a certain age. Like, so I think sometimes we think things that are really important that aren't important. Like some really great guys aren't even dating. They are so infused with work that they're like, when she shows up, I'll be there. You know, right. It's like, mm-hmm. Okay, I got to show up.
Okay. So what's your term latch? Can you explain that to us?
For me, latch is like, kind of like, you know, when a child sucks on a tit, but I'm kind of like sometimes I say this at work with clients. I'm like, latch bitch, come on. Which is like, just like, come on. Like hinge, like, you know, puzzle piece this, fuck it, figure it out. Like, why aren't you should be dating this person. Mm. You know, sometimes we self-sabotage ourselves because we have this expectation of what we're going to get from an app or a matchmaker or through a friend. And that person, if you met them on your own at an open bar at a wedding, they're perfectly acceptable and you would date them and you would have fun. But it's like, no, now that I'm on an app and now that I'm over 35, now I, you know, my expectations are even higher. You know, he needs to be this height. He needs to make this much money. It's like, whoa, you know, he does not be any of those things. He mm-hmm. just needs to be a good person and treat you respectfully and listen to you. Because to me, it's like, if you meet someone that you actually, let me tell you when you should decide to settle, if you want to use that verb. If you ever meet someone that you think you could like for the next 30 years, that's your person. That's it. You found them. You can't do better, because it's so rare that you meet someone that you could like for the next 30 years. In fact, I would tell you that most marriages, they don't like each other. They love each other, but they don't like each other. Mm-hmm. So if you find someone, you look at them, you're like, yeah, I like you. I could like you for 30 years. Yeah, you got it. Date them. Marry them. That's your person.
What would you say of the opposite of that? Of like, you're dating someone and you're sitting there kind of being like, I could be with this guy for 30 years. What about the opposite of like, you're dating someone and suddenly something just hits you and just goes, I don't think I'm marrying this guy.
Yeah.
Would you say like, wait another week, or would you be like, yeah, you got to go?
You know, someone just asked me this recently. I think like yesterday was in my, my text messages. One of my friends was like, I don't know if I like my boyfriend. And I asked him, what don't you like right now? And he was saying something like, you know, this apartment is too small for the both of us. And I was like, would you like him more if you lived in a two bedroom? Oh yeah. And he goes, yeah, our problems would be solved if we lived in a two bedroom. Then I go, then you don't have a problem. Right. You have an apartment problem. Mm-hmm. You don't have a relationship problem.
I think it's more. Yeah. If it's a gut feeling of like something that is happening in the relationship that you just feel to yourself, like, I couldn't do this the rest of my life, like whatever part that it is. And essentially, I think it's like how you said earlier, you have to decide what's the most important to you in a relationship.
But do you know, the really popular reason why people do break up on the like stuff is actually because someone else doesn't like your partner. Like,
that's really interesting.
I'm Jewish and my parents want me to marry Jewish and you're not Jewish, so this is not going to be anything. And it's like, well, no, do you like this person? Like, because if you like them and you love them, fuck your parents. Like, your parents aren't going to live forever. You have to live with this person. You have to like them. They don't have to like them. And also, just because your parents don't like this person right now, there's no guarantee that if you brought home a Rebecca, that doesn't mean they're going to like her either.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the opposite is true, too. There's been people where it's like, the in-laws loved me when we were dating. Then we got married, and now it's a nightmare.
I mean, my in-laws hate me. And I'm Greek. My in-laws don't hate me, but like my mother-in-law, she hates me. But my father-in-law, he loves me. And every time my mother-in-law does something dumb, he'll buy me like really expensive jewelry to like balance things.
Whoa. Shit. So you don't really believe the saying like you marry the family? Because that's what my family says. We're Italian.
Well, and it's I don't know. My husband's family lives in like 5,000 miles away, but
makes it easier.
Well, you got a loophole.
My husband married my family because my parents live with us.
Okay.
My mom is sick and we're taking care of her, and you know, we're helping out my dad, and my parents are, you know, moderately easy to get along with. And my husband enjoys them. He's a very close relationship with both of my parents, very different relationships with both of them, but very close. And, you know, the reason why my mother-in-law doesn't like me is because I'm not from Crete, you know, whatever. I've told her a few times, like, I love you because you made the person that I want and you don't have to like me. And that's okay.
That's
like,
very nice.
That's so sweet.
But that's easy for you to say, because you only have to see her a couple times a year.
Yeah, I only see her a couple times a year, but you know, you have to. So here's, people break up because of their parents sometimes. And like, what I'm telling you here is that like, I don't think that's a good enough reason. Like, you should break up with your partner if your partner's like, if your parents are like, dude, this person's abusing you, you should not be with this person. Like, then I can accept that. But if it's like, oh, she's not our religion, she's not our ethnicity. Like, you could bring someone home who's the same ethnicity and religion as you. There is no guarantee that your parents are going to like them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And at the end of the day, you have to learn how to live with your partner. And also, you have to learn how to advocate for your partner to your parents. And if your parents cannot accept it, then you have to start creating boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, like for us, I don't stay at my in-laws' house. We stay either at an Airbnb or hotel, or we have a summer home as well. Like, we'll stay separately from them because, you know, boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But I have to say, if I was dating someone and I didn't like how they treated my family, that would be a deal breaker for me. And mm-hmm. I think that's different than what you're saying. It wouldn't be my parents being like, we don't like them. I would be sitting there being like, I don't like how you are around them and how you're treating the people I love.
Yeah, that would be a deal breaker for me as well. But my husband, I've never treated my in-laws poorly.
Right. I'm not saying you did. I'm saying like that technically is a reason to break up because of family, but I think is a good reason. Like, I think that's correct.
I see. Look, anyone treating someone badly is a good reason not to be with that person.
I don't know. For me, it depends on which family member they were mean to. I could get over it.
It gets me back to this one example that I have. This happened with a client. I didn't intend for them to meet. They met on their own. He was not good for her. He was just not good for her. But she stayed with him. And she stayed with him because he was Greek. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I remember saying to her, like, just because someone is Greek doesn't mean they're going to be a good father. It doesn't mean they're going to be a good boyfriend. It doesn't mean they're going to be a good husband. It just means that they're Greek.
Right.
And so you've put up these this tunnel to only date a certain person of this race or ethnicity, but it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, you're not looking at like the real values. And I think that race and religion, especially in 2021, are really great examples of that. Like, I was raised very Catholic, like a priest in the family, everything. And I have told my parents, I'm like, I'll be damned if I get married in church. Like, I'm not doing that. Like, that's not something that's important to me. I will probably not have my children baptized. Like, I know I was raised like that, but I don't agree with the church for many reasons that I think are justified. Like, female empowerment and pedophilia are issues. So I don't want to raise my children in that structure, and I don't want it to be a part of my adult life. So that's fine if that's something that you guys want to practice, but I won't do that now that I'm an adult. So they're hard conversations to have, but you need to understand what's important to you in the life that you're building in that next chapter. Like, childhood is gone, you know, you need to move on and be your own person.
So we stress the 12 date rule. You have to stress that a lot to people. So besides the 12 date rule, what do you think is the biggest mistake that people make in dating?
Well, you know, I'll say this as a tall woman. I think one of the biggest mistakes a lot of women do is they choose height as a parameter. When height is completely unearned characteristic that you have that tells you nothing about someone's character and integrity. And if you are below 5'9", height shouldn't even be selected. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Short women actually need to hear this the most, because they are the people that I will hear openly say, oh no, I only date like 6 foot guys. And I look at them like, I date guys shorter than me. And you can't date someone who's just shorter than 6 feet, but still much bigger than you. Makes zero sense.
Erica,
to me.
How tall are you again?
I'm
are you
5'11"? I'm the same.
Okay,
height as
you, so we're both 5'11". I was saying this to a bunch of women over the weekend. I was like, I don't understand the height thing, because for me personally, if you are 5'6" and below, you look the same height from my perspective. And I wonder if it's the same perspective the opposite way sometimes. Like, can a 5'4" woman really tell the difference between a guy who's 5'10" and 6 foot in 6 foot?
No, we can't.
No, they can't. I can, because a lot of guys lie about their height. When I show up, it's
well,
like,
you're that height. You're that height. The perspective right, there exactly. is eye to eye. But like, if I can't tell what a 5'6" and a 5'2" and a 4'11" person could be in front of me, and if I'm standing next to them, I don't understand their height. My eyes perspective is not decoding. If they were far away and they were next to each other, then I'd be like, okay, clearly I'm not stupid, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And the same goes for men too. They'll be like, no, my girl's really tall. And then I'll meet her and I'm like, she's not that tall.
She's 5'6". Yeah.
She's taller thin, than other buddy. Women you've dated.
She probably wears heels.
Yeah. Exactly.
Why do you think your heels are more important than just choosing someone from a different, like, look, you might still end up with a 6'2" man, but let's do the math. If you are a Jewish woman in Manhattan and you are telling me he needs to be Jewish and over 5'10", that's like less than 1% of men.
Yeah, I looked it up actually recently of how many men are 6 feet and taller, and it's 14% in the U.S.
Right. And then add that only 1% of men are Jewish, less than 1% of men are Jewish.
I don't know the race breakdown on it, but I just was curious one day and I looked it up and I was like, yeah, it's not that many. So even for myself of like dating apps and filters, I'm like, I don't put that you have to be taller than me. Like, I try to not stress that and look that. And the thing is, it is harder to be attracted to someone immediately that might be shorter than you, because I've been there. But it's like, I just think about all the great guys I know in my life that are like 5'8", 5'7", like whatever height, that I'm sitting there being like, I love them and I think they're great men. And I would be so mad if I tried to set them up with a friend and they were like, well, they're not 6 feet. I'd be like, you're going to let this great guy go that I like love. But it's just, it is that thing of like, attraction can build over time. And it's just, I get that it is hard, but it's also like, man, being in a relationship, how much are you standing next to people? You're sitting on the couch watching TV. You're sitting down eating dinner. You're sitting at a bar, like having drinks. Like, I've dated men shorter than me. And I'm just like, as long as they don't act weird about it, like, I don't care.
Nearly all men I've ever met in my office, nearly all, not all, but nearly all, they've all are like, I'll date a taller. I would totally date taller women. I don't care. They're the ones with the problem. I don't have a problem. And I'm like, interesting.
But I have this theory of, because I'm tall, I had a roommate who was a very good friend of mine. He's 6'5". And there was one day that I was wearing sneaker wedges, so you can't see that they're heels, but they're a little bit of a heel. And he still towers me. It's like an inch and a half heel. And I'm standing next to him. We were out somewhere. And he looks over at me and he's like, are you taller? And I go, like an inch taller? Why? Like, why? He goes, I don't like this. I like feel smaller. And I looked at him and I go, that's what it is. I'm like, that's often why super tall guys will not like tall women. I go, I make you feel smaller. You are used to walking into the room and you are one of the tallest people. You pretty much tower everybody. So the fact that I'm close to you, you now feel small.
Go.
So I've found with guys that are shorter than me or around my height, they don't mind that I'm tall because they're used to walking into the room and not being the tallest guy. They're like, I've never been the tallest guy in the room. They go, so I have no ego about it. But like the guys that always are, the minute they're not, they're like, oh, I feel small. I don't like my power is taken away or whatever it is.
I've heard this from tall guys. They say that like they don't trust a man who's taller than them or something really weird because it like it just makes them feel really insecure. I'm like, that's fucking dumb.
Anytime I meet a woman that's my height or taller, I just look at them and like admire. I'm like, oh, that's awesome.
You get it. Well, that's, I mean, but this is where it stems from. It stems from the like, oh, other people are going to be like, oh, that looks weird or like, or just judging in whatever way. And because I've also had with, you know, you talk about meet through friends and I've had people on the fly be like, oh yeah, I would set you up with someone, but I don't know any tall guys. And I've literally looked at them and been like, I don't care if they're taller than me. I go, if they care, yeah, don't have me meet them. I go, but I don't. Like, I was like, you know, great guys, you're not going to introduce me just because like I got a couple inches on them. Like,
that's so rude.
Yeah, I'm like, do they like sports? About, do they want tall children? Because I could bring that. I bring that to the table, you know? Well, I guess so. Height is a very big mistake you think women navigate with dating.
I think we should just remove it. And then...
what would you say for men?
For men? God, men make so many mistakes. Where do we begin? A mistake usually means that you can correct something. Unfortunately, I get nervous with men because it's like, unfortunately, like some women will just put up with anything. And I'm like, don't date that guy. You know, I think some men are scared of being judged for what they're looking for. They're just, I feel like a lot of men are unhappy because of this. Like, for instance, like I think a lot of men before they turn 27 or 28, they're masturbating to something very different than what they're dating publicly.
Interesting.
Like they might be attracted to a different kind of woman, but because they're scared of society or they're scared of what their friends will say, they'll kind of go with the wolf pack.
That's so interesting.
This is intriguing.
Yeah.
So I feel like in both cases, it's like appearance, basically, you would say is the biggest mistake people make.
Yeah. Yeah, I suppose. I would agree.
Well, on Shooters Gotta Shoot, we asked all of our guests, what's a time that you shot your shot and was it a hit or a miss? Can you remember any stories that stick out to you?
I have one.
Okay.
I have one. I'm really excited about this. So I did my undergrad in Athens. So that's why I keep saying when I lived in Greece. So I lived there for 5 years and I had just finished my freshman year. It was like, I think it was like the day before my sophomore year. I was at a club with like a bunch of my girlfriends and like the barman was just really cute. You know, I'm talking to one of my girlfriends who was visiting from America and we're talking English, well, American. And the bartender's like, are you from the US? And I'm like, yeah. And he like, without saying anything after, he just pulls out his wallet and he shows me his ID and it was an Illinois ID. And I was like, oh, are you Greek American? He goes, no, I went to college there. I lived there for like 5 years, 6 years. And now I'm back. So while we're having this conversation while I'm holding his license, like he's still talking to me while I'm holding his license. And like he told me what he did for a living and all that stuff. And I was like, okay, well, listen, I'm going to take this. This is, and like, you know, I had already, I think, written down my number and I had didn't find the balls yet to like give it to him.
Oh, okay.
I've done that. So when he gave me his license, I was like, okay, I'm gonna hold on to this. This is my number. When you take me out on a first date, I'll give you your license back.
Nice move.
And then I just, without him even responding, I just like turned around and like left. Like oh my God. Left the club. I like got out and left.
That's amazing. And
he called the next morning.
He's like, I need that. That's how I get women.
And then I dated him for a year. He was my boyfriend for 1 year.
Wow.
Yeah. I remember the day we broke up too. Cause like, this is so stupid, but I really recommend it. I was like,
would you take his license again? Yeah. You're like, no. And I'm taking it with me.
I did my bachelor's in international business. And we had just learned like SWOT analysis, like strengths, weaknesses, opportunities, and threats. I was like, we should do a SWOT analysis on a relationship. This was the day before our 1 year anniversary. And I said, let's do a SWOT analysis on our relationship to determine if we should do another year together or we should just break up, like make it clean. We don't have to spend money on anniversary if we're not working out, because we were fighting a little bit towards the end.
Okay.
And we did a SWOT analysis and then we're like, yeah, man, this isn't, I think we're done. And it was hard. I mean, we broke up consciously uncoupled, but for 3 weeks, it was like a lot of crying on my end, like calling my mom crying. And my mom's like, but you wanted this. And I go, I know, I still miss him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like when you finish a good book, you're like, you know, you miss someone. They're just a chapter. They're not the whole book.
Yeah.
But I remember that was really upsetting, but I knew it was not the person and I didn't, mm-hmm. I don't want to keep dating him, but that's how I got that done. You can't do that in America because then they can't drop me. Yeah.
Just go out there, steal people's IDs. It'll Something. Be fine.
Yeah. Their vaccine card. ID,
so I just took his license and
take their vaccine card. That's what I would do. That's the version now. Like, you could drive, you can still get around, but like you want this proof back.
Yeah.
You go, come find me.
You will be limited.
That was all on my end. I'm really proud of that.
Yeah. But it is, that's the hardest to end it because it's very hard to end it when you're like, it's not that I don't like you, I still am in love with you, but I just know it's not going to work long term, which unfortunately a lot of people don't end it and they just still stay.
I mean, I was 20 years old when I ended it with him. I was like 2 months before I turned 21. And I was like, yeah, I've got other mistakes to make.
Well, thank you so much for coming on. This was so much fun.
Yeah, thank you. And you have a free database that women can join at agapematch.com, correct?
That's right.
So,
So
you mostly have male clients and you set them up with women. So any women listening, join agapematch.com, especially if you live greater New York City area, Jersey, right? That's where you're located.
Yeah, you can always join you can always check out the link in my bio on Instagram too, at Matchmaker Maria. It's got a lot of resources there. And by going to agapematch, it takes 15 minutes to join. You could be in the free database. At least we could just consider you as a potential match for any current or future client.
Yeah, I joined. I did it. It doesn't take very long.
Did you really?
Yeah, I did. The hardest part, honestly, was picking the photos. I was like a little nervous. I was like, Matchmaker Maria is going to judge my photos.
You know what's funny? I don't look because I'm not the one responsible for cleaning the database every day. There's like three other people before it finally gets on my desk. So I have no idea. Like I'll be at an event. They're like, Maria, I'm in your database. And I'm like, I have no idea like what's happening.
Well, I sent it to a couple friends. I was like, I just did this. It was very easy. Join it.
So. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah,
now Molly, I'm going to look up. Molly, are you in it too?
No, now I feel like I should. I will.
Okay. Check it out.
I'm going to look into this.
She didn't tell me she did this.
Yeah. Well, hey, I was doing my research for the episode. I was like, let me see what it's like to join.
You never know.
Yeah. So, and follow you at Matchmaker Maria, and you can follow our podcast at Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod, and I'm at Sparica with two A's.
And I'm at the Guaca_Molly.
And we'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye.